this is Angela Middleton, and welcome to my podcast called I Want to BA. The reason for this podcast is that there is a huge lack of careers advice in the UK, and I'm always asked by young people, by parents and by teachers, my views on improving careers advice, and particularly by parents, what should they say to their youngster who's leaving school. I think it is a wider subject. It's not just about what job do you want to do, but it is actually about how you want your life to be. And within that, what type of career you want to select. And that career can just be the first stepping stone. Nowadays, individuals have a whole portfolio of careers. The people that I've interviewed, even at the age of 30, have had four or five careers. Myself, I've had at least five different types of careers. So this podcast is about firstly talking about careers in general and careers advice, but secondly, bringing in individuals who have experienced careers in particular industries, hence the subject I Want to BA, and they can come and talk about the path that they took to actually get to where they are, and also talk about what it's like to actually do that job and have that career. So we'll be covering every type of career that we can think of in the UK, and it will be everything from architects to zoologists. So I'll look forward to comments, and we'll build things up as we go along, and hopefully it should be of great use to parents, to teachers and to young people. I have here with me today Alison Taylor, an interior designer and project manager, owner and founder of AJ Technical Services and Interiors. Alison trained as a civil engineer, starting with the world's largest civil engineering company at the age of 16, where she did a four-year apprenticeship training scheme. Interestingly, she was one of only two females out of a class of 30, and she actually won both awards for that class. No one had ever won both, and indeed a female had never won either. So that was an absolute accolade and a proof, I think, that a female can absolutely excel in a traditionally male environment. After succeeding there, and where she was involved in some really exciting projects like the rejuvenation of the Docklands, including City Airport, and even infrastructure regeneration in Benghazi and Libya, she went on to do a master's degree on day release. But there was something missing where she was still trying to find her niche, and finally, as a result of refurbing her own property, she realised that that's where her true love and expertise lay, and she went on then to run her current business, which has actually at this point created numerous projects, thousands in fact, both residential and commercial, and has seen her working in hotels, golf clubs, offices across London, Scotland, Ireland and Europe. Alison, thank you so much for joining us today. There are lots of people that are very, very interested in your area of expertise, which is interior design. So really wanted to start with you giving us an intro of how your career developed from when you left school until this point.
Well, I left school at 16. Although I wasn't going down the A-level degree route, I knew I wanted to carry on with my education. I also had quite a technical background, school and also family wise, and so I started looking at engineering, different divisions of engineering.
And was there anything at school that inspired you to do that, or was it literally sort of family influences? What was it that inspired you?
Yes, no, it was family influences and knowing my strong points.
Because it's funny, isn't it, at the age of 16 and being female as well, that you sort of felt that you wanted to go into a sort of a technical
I'd always
area.
Been encouraged by my parents that there's no, just because I was female, that I had to go down a certain path.
Yeah.
Again, they knew my strengths, so they actively encouraged me to go into engineering.
Yeah,
they felt there were no barriers.
Yeah.
So then I decided on civil engineering because I felt maybe that was suitable for me. I managed to gain a place at a very large, world-renowned civil engineering firm called Ove Arups, who offered an indentured apprenticeship. So it meant I carried on with my education through day release, doing my civil engineering qualifications whilst working for them.
And what sort of things did you do with them?
My very first project I worked on, obviously you're always working in teams. You don't, civil engineering or any form of engineering is not an individual career. It's very sort of team orientated. It was the regeneration of Benghazi in Libya.
Right,
they were
okay.
Regenerating all the highways and infrastructure.
Yeah.
And I was working on that within a team.
Right, well, and you worked on Docklands and City Airport.
Yes,
and stuff,
then sort of going on later in time, I then worked on the regeneration of all the Royal Docks in London and the Isle of Dogs, which included City Airport. This was years before it was, now obviously it's all seems normal to us, it's all been there, but this was when it was all being regenerated.
And how many trainees were there? You were mentioning that, you know, you were one of only two girls, I think you said.
Within OVARUP, who obviously were a very large civil engineering consultancy, they took on two apprentices. At college on my course, there were about 30 students in total, two of which were female.
And how did that feel?
It didn't worry me. It probably worried the male members of the class more than the female, I think.
Well, particularly because then you were award-winning.
Yes, I then went on my course to win two awards. One, which was, bizarrely, the OVARUP Award, which no one from OVARUP had ever won. And also a female had never won it. And then also a surveying award. And no one on the course had ever won both awards.
Wow.
So I sort of broke a few records. The only female, first female to win any.
Yeah.
First person to win both in one year.
Yeah.
And the first OVARUP employee to win their award.
Yeah.
Which I actually managed. I actually got awarded it by Sir Ove himself, who is probably the modern day most famous civil engineer in the world.
That's fantastic.
OVARUP. He's dead, passed now. But
so you did that from the age of 16 for 4 years. And obviously, you know, with the awards and everything, it was you had a natural affinity. Obviously, you worked very hard. And you got to that point at the end of the fourth year where you'd completed that qualification.
Yes.
And what happened then?
Then I think I felt a little bit lost with not doing any more education, because I think this, I can imagine this is how you feel when you come out of university, to stop your education dead is a little bit scary in a way.
With so much to learn.
So I kept working, and then I started thinking about where else was I going to go, what else was I going to do with my career as not location. And then I asked my directors if they would sponsor me to do a maths degree on a day release.
And did you have a particular objective in mind doing maths, or was it literally that you felt that that was an academic qualification that you were interested in or would be
good at? Yes, I think if I'd have gone down the A-level university route, mathematics probably would have been the degree I would have chosen. I was starting to feel at the age of 20 that perhaps civil engineering was not the right fit for me personally long term.
Yeah.
So I felt if I then expanded to do a maths degree, it might open up a few more doors and maybe I could diversify somewhere along the line.
So this is interesting that although by this point you'd been doing sort of 5 or 6 years worth of work experience and you were obviously very good in the civil engineering field and you were progressing well with maths, that you were sort of feeling, actually, what else could I do? Is this the thing that I want to continue my career in a long time? So you were asking yourself these questions.
Yes.
And so you were searching for your niche in
a way.
I
knew there was something not quite right, and this is not what I wanted to be doing in 20 years' time.
Okay, so whilst you were doing the maths degree, what happened then?
Well, life gets in the way as well, because I was getting my own property and I was planning a wedding. And I got to a point on the degree where I felt, I actually don't know where this is taking me. So I then took the decision to leave OVARUPS and go contract and become self-employed and work for other engineering practices on a contract basis.
And that gave you
That gave me
more
flexibility
yeah.
and more experience.
Yeah. And so we're still not at interior design at this point. So everyone's sort of interested in how you then made that leap. What happened
then? As I just mentioned, I'd got my own property at this point, which, with the help of my mother, who was very interested, we refurbished this property. With no intention of anything other than making it somewhere nice to live. And we were quite surprised with the reaction we got.
Yeah.
Lots of friends started saying, wow, look what you've done. Well, would you help me do my new property? Would you give me some advice?
Yeah.
Would you point me in the right direction? So that started sort of triggering alarm bells.
Yeah.
Then the interest in that, I started going on some interior design courses in my own personal time.
And this was because you had that, as you referred to earlier, that desire to continue learning. And, you know, but now it seemed like you had something that where you had a natural affinity. So you were now learning for a particular purpose.
Yeah, and an interest. So this was all in my personal time.
Yeah.
I then also had my first child. So I stopped working for a little bit. Then after about a year, I went back to work and I was working freelance again, carrying on in the engineering route. But my interest and knowledge in the interiors was growing at this point. And then that's when I decided to jump from engineering into interiors.
And that's when you set up your entity.
Yes.
And I mean, fast forward to sort of where you are now, I know that you've done literally thousands of projects ranging from residential projects through to commercial projects where you've refurbed hotels and golf clubs, you know, as well as whole properties, offices, etc. So you've got a huge amount of experience now. So you really sort of went for it together.
Yeah.
And so just explain a bit about, you know, your current role now and what that entails.
So my role now is for clients to be able to put their vision and needs into reality, to create a finished project to what they require and desire.
Yeah. And what types of projects might that be?
So that can be anything from refurbishing a whole house, top to bottom, with it sort of including bathrooms, all the hard finishes, all the lovely, nice finishing bits, soft furnishings and so forth. Or it could be a commercial project for a client where I would project manage and refurbish an office to that client's needs.
Right, okay. So wide and varied. And what's the sort of a, you know, a typical week like for you?
Well, that's probably the thing I like the most about doing my job. There is no typical week. There are no two jobs the same. There's no 2 weeks the same, no 2 months the same.
Right.
And your working life sort of pans out in front of you. You obviously have to be able to keep on top of things and be able to time manage and organise, but it's very varied.
Yeah. And what sorts of attributes do you need to be good at this job, do you think?
I would say, firstly, communication skills. You need to be able to communicate with people. You need to be able to liaise and facilitate between all the different people on a project, the client, the tradespeople, the suppliers. You need to be organised, because there can literally be hundreds or even thousands of items from suppliers on one job. Time management is key.
Yeah.
And obviously from a financial side, things need to come in on budget.
Yeah, exactly. And what about aesthetics? You know, having an eye for things, maybe where a client won't, things like that.
Well, obviously that's what people want from you.
Yeah.
Your eye for detail, the way you put things together.
Yeah.
That is only part of the job.
What sort of part would you, because a lot of people look at interior design and think it is about all the pretty stuff and, you know, choosing fabrics and things like that, but it's much more than that, isn't it?
Well, that is the end product that people see. That's what people see. They don't see all the other stuff that's gone on to get to that point.
Yeah.
And it is probably the nice bits of the job,
yeah,
but it's not the majority of the job.
And the majority of the job is much more what you've described.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
You mentioned that things that you love about the role include flexibility and managing your own time and things like that. What would you say are some of the biggest challenges of the role?
Getting things done in the time scale, because also things happen that you can't appreciate when you start. You don't know what's going to happen. Someone could go through a pipe. It could put you back 3 weeks.
Right.
Yeah. You could wait for an item. It could be on back stock. It could be out of stock. And this wonderful carpet the client wants has got to be woven on the other side of the world. And it's going to take 6 months.
Right.
So these are all things you can't account for. You can't deal with until you are actually in front of you.
What would you say about the sort of personality traits that you might need for this role?
I suppose it helps to be likable.
Yeah.
That you can talk to people. Communication, again, is key, to be able to explain to people what the situation is and be realistic.
Yeah.
These are your choices. We can delay this project and wait till then,
mm-hmm.
or we can choose something else.
I'm with you, yeah. with our listeners, I imagine now that they're very excited about the profession and the role of an interior designer, based on what you've said. What would be your advice to those individuals who are interested, but maybe they're, you know, they're sitting at school, about to take their GCSEs, may have taken their GCSEs, or they may have taken their A-levels and be at college. But either way, you know, they're in two minds as to what to do. Should they go to university? Maybe they don't want to go to university, but they are interested in this career. What would be your advice to any of them in terms of how to move forward?
I'm very pro being involved with a company with your education. So if you could find maybe commercial interior designers, commercial architects who have interior design divisions that maybe would either sponsor you mm-hmm. to do a degree, mm-hmm. day release or sandwich or full time, maybe go down that route. Mm. I think rather than just going to university and doing a degree, although that's, I'm not saying that's the wrong move, mm. it would be good to get involved with some companies and get some experience. Even if you got some experience, then went and did your degree and then came back. I think, but different companies will have their own routes with bringing people in who they want to move along and get qualified.
And in terms of the actual content of the qualification, technical, not technical, what would be your view?
A balance of everything.
But you think the technical side is important?
Personally, it's been a huge advantage to me in my career.
Yeah. And how about being a woman in a, you know, traditionally recognised man's world? Any thoughts on that, or do you think that's just irrelevant?
To me, it was always irrelevant. Yeah. To me, it was, I never saw it as a disadvantage, an advantage. I just felt if I could be the best person I could be at yes. my job, yeah. my gender was of no relevance.
Absolutely. And this is completely what we advocate now within schools. And indeed, a lot of engineering companies actually come to us and say, please, can you get more females to apply to us? There's another great message that's coming out of this interview is that, you know, girls, if you're thinking about an engineering career, which leads to interior design, or even if it doesn't, do pursue that, because
absolutely,
there's lots and lots of opportunities for you and it can lead in lots of different directions.
Absolutely.
So beyond that then, if they were to go and do this qualification with commercial interior designers, any other tips for them? I mean, where would they find these companies? Is there industry, press?
Well, obviously like now as opposed to when I left school and was looking at education, furthering education and careers, we now have the wonderful Google and the internet, and yeah. you can find pretty much what you want on there. And I would advise people to look where they're based, what companies are in the areas they want to work in, and approach those people and see what opportunities they offer.
And would you be going for, would you be Googling commercial interior designers, or would you Google civil engineers or just engineers?
What I think if you want to go down the interior design route, I would commercial interior designers. Some, you'll find some architect practices will have interior design divisions. Mm. So large companies like that and maybe work on big hotel and residential projects.
And you think it's better to go for large companies that look at, that give you exposure to large scale projects?
I think so, because then you can then diversify into residential, staying commercial, where if you go to a much smaller company, you're going to specialise early in your career before you've really given yourself a real good base.
So, Alison, thanks so much for spending that time today. You've given us a really different dimension on the role of interior designer. I think that anybody who's listening to this now, male or female, will realise that this isn't just about selecting the best colour cushions. It is so much more than that.
If only it was.
You know, a really exciting career that can open up so many future opportunities. So thanks very much. And Alison, if anybody wants to sort of have a look at some of the examples of your work, I know that, you know, you don't actually attract clients via the traditional sales and marketing, it's all through referrals, but I know you do have a website. So in case anybody wants to have a quick look, what's your website address?
Oh, so that's jbinterior.co.uk.
And that's interior or interiors?
Interior, no S.
Fabulous. Thank you very much.
Thank you.